Something that I deeply appreciate about our service order is that every week we read a psalm together. We read the Old Testament, the New Testament, Gospel. And on a Sunday like this, when we look particularly at this idea of the Good Shepherd, it is such a powerful picture of who the Lord is and of who we are. And, you know, if it's one thing if, you know, you pick up on it here and there, but really from the very beginning in Genesis, we have God creating the world and he puts man in a garden where there are green pastures and where there is still waters, everything that he could need for life and for flourishing. And then when we go to the future, as far as we can see, the Apostle John, Revelation, he says that the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will wipe away every tear. He will lead them to streams of living water. So from beginning to end, we have a good shepherd who cares for us. And so it's good and right for us to look at this and to realize as well that idea of a shepherd is not something that a theologian thought up when they were, you know, on horseback looking at a sunset or something. This is what God has said about himself. He is a good shepherd. And Matt just read from, some of the greatest passages in John, but, then John 10, the Jesus describing himself as a good shepherd. And if we don't read this in its context, we might not realize this was a bit of a shock to the Pharisees. So in John 9, Jesus had opened the eyes of a man born blind. And that created a lot of controversy because the Pharisees didn't like, it was on a Sabbath, and they said that anybody who said that Jesus was the Messiah, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. And this man born blind was, I mean, he was testifying to the works of God. And it created quite a controversy. And so Jesus, he knew his scripture. And so in Ezekiel 34, there is a rebuke of the shepherds, the leaders, the religious leaders of the people who were not caring for the sheep. And in Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own lands. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray, and I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, and on the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." So in John, where Jesus is now describing himself, "I am that good shepherd. I am the one personally who is tending to my sheep, feeding their needs, binding up their wounds, leading them, giving them everything that they need." Jesus is saying, "I am that good shepherd." And he says, "I am the door. The way in is through me." And so we're wondering, how do we get in on this relationship with this good shepherd? It's through Jesus. He is the way in. By faith in him, believing who he said he was, coming to him as the one who can meet all of our needs, who can satisfy every longing. We come through the door of Jesus, and we can come in and then go out. It's not that we leave him, but we are then in his fold, because he's not only protecting us so that we might survive, he's actually leading us to everything that we could possibly need. So we have this gospel from John 10. And then we began with Psalm 23, which there's really no more precious place in all of scripture than Psalm 23 that talks about who God is for us personally. a lot of the scripture that we read, it's about, you know, one another, and you all are the light of the world. It's addressing the people of God. Psalm 23 is really a very personal witness of David, who knows God as his own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. We see in this psalm that God is with David. He knew that he was a present God. So he had protection. He had safety. But more than that, he had pasture, water, abundant life is what the picture that's painted in Psalm 23. So he's not only concerned about survival and provision, but everything he might possibly need. So Psalm 23, this is a picture of what we receive. And so then, for those who know him as the Good Shepherd, there is no fear of aging or death or disease or hunger or the loss of possessions or relationships, because God's presence changes everything. And it ends with this: truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When Juliana was about 18 years old, she was at a convention where Warren Wiersbe was teaching through this passage. And he said that another way of translating that is, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that just resonated with her and stuck with her in a way that's helped her faith, so that when it seems that things are not going the way that we would want, we recognize, well, I have a shepherd. His perspective is perfect. So mine is limited. I can trust him. Only goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell with him forever. This is a book I would highly recommend to you. Dallas Willard wrote a book, Reflections on Psalm 23, called Life Without Lack. And this is what he's getting at. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything I need, I will have. Now, it may not be everything that I would fill my life with, but it's whatever I need. To be fruitful, to be obedient, to follow the Lord, I have it in Christ. And it's a great book. I highly, highly recommend it to you. So we have Psalm 23, and then we get to 1 Peter. And if you remember, Peter, after denying Jesus, when he's on the shore with Jesus, he's told three times, you know, or asked, do you love me? And he's told, feed my sheep. So this is very directly Peter's commission as an apostle, as a leader in the early church, to feed the sheep. They're God's sheep. He is the good shepherd, that he's commissioned Peter to help feed the sheep. And so part of what his letters are is to restore, to fix our hope. Last week we looked at in chapter 1, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ is revealed. We do that by girding up our minds, by being sober-minded, fixing our minds on what is true, as our hope sets the trajectory for our whole life. And here in chapter 2, he's talking about, it's an apparent contradiction. Okay, if the Lord is my shepherd, what happens when things don't go right? What if I'm working for a boss who is unjust? One who, mistreats. And now he's talking to people who are actually slaves. And so it's a very different situation than employees in the 21st century. Nevertheless, we get into relationships with other people where maybe we're not appreciated, or maybe we're misunderstood, and there is mistreatment. And Peter's saying, don't be surprised by that, because your redemption came through Jesus bearing up under unjust circumstances. Your salvation came through him being treated as he didn't deserve. So don't be surprised if in this world there's going to be situations where you're misunderstood, you're not appreciated. In those times, bear up under it. Even when you're not appreciated or understood, well, how can we bear up in those times? And I'll say this too. He's not suggesting that anybody remain in a situation where they're being abused, mistreated, if they have the opportunity to speak about it, to appeal to someone. Thanks be to God, we live in a society where there is, with our government, with other, you know, most employee opportunities, if there's something that seems off, you can appeal. But that said, there's still going to be times when maybe even the closest relationships, it seems someone doesn't see all that you've done and you feel underappreciated. How can we bear up in those times? Verse 19, it is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Realizing that we have a good shepherd, he sees when we're, even when we're mistreated, even when nobody else appreciates, if we're mindful of God, we can bear up in those times, entrusting ourselves to him who judges justly. He is a good shepherd. In the book of Exodus, the people of God, you know, they're enslaved in Egypt, terrible circumstances. They truly are oppressed. They have no one to appeal to. There's no higher court. It's Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is oppressing, mistreating the people, but they appeal to God. And scripture says that God saw and God knew. When God knows something, he does something. Thanks be to God that when God sees and when God knows, it moves him to action. He is a God of compassion. And we see what he did in with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, delivering his people from that iron smelting furnace of Egypt and brought them out into the good land that he had prepared for them. And so we, likewise, in whatever things that we're facing, when it seems that unjust or just, our sense of justice is violated, something's not right, we're mindful of God, confident that he sees, he knows, we can entrust ourselves to him as our shepherd, that he will set things right in his time. Mindful specifically of Jesus, because it was through his suffering unjustly that the many were made righteous. Isaiah 53, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Jesus suffered so that undeserving, rebellious sinners could be made sons and daughters of God, sheep of his pasture. So Jesus is held forth here as an example. Verse 21, to this you've been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And so, likewise, we're told we have a good shepherd. But if we are encountering circumstances where it seems things are not as they should be yet, we can entrust ourselves to him, mindful of him, mindful of our Savior who suffered for us so that we can bear up under those circumstances because he is a good shepherd. And we know, we're confident that John saw in Revelation 7 that the Lamb who died for us, he is in the midst of the throne and he will be our shepherd and he will guide us to springs of living water and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Meaning there's still going to be tears in this life. There's still going to be difficulty. Expect that there will be times when you're not understood or affirmed or appreciated. But we are called to live a life that is content because we're mindful of God and we're entrusting ourselves to him who sees and who knows. He is a good shepherd. So practically, how do we do that? And this may sound familiar to last week. Practically, how do we set our hope fully? Well, it's some similar practical ways to do that. How can we be mindful of God, mindful of our good shepherd, and trust ourselves to him who sees and knows? We've got to know his word. Specifically for yourself, when it seems that you're in circumstances that nobody would understand, it seems you've been mistreated, go to Psalm 23 and know that passage. Or if it seems that, you know, maybe nobody else in the world understands all the particular things that you've got going on, go to Psalm 139. The Lord sees me. The Lord knows me. Let the truth of these passages come into your heart. We've got to believe what he has said. And those two in particular are a great help. If we feel that no one else understands, no one else sees us, the Lord sees. Before a word is on your tongue, he knows it completely. He knows when you sit and when you rise. He knows when you go in and come out. He knows you. So Psalm 139. Another thing that we can do to help us be mindful of God is to sing. We're going to sing in a few moments. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Music has a way of driving this truth into our hearts so we can know it. So that when doubts arise, or so that when the accuser throws things in our face, we can go back to what God has said. And our lives can be anchored on that. Another thing we can do, talk to God about these things. Whatever difficulties, if it seems we're suffering unjustly, it seems we're unappreciated, talk to him. Matt Foster has shared this. He has a mentor who he was talking to one time about some different things, and he asked him, well, Matt, have you prayed about that? Well, no. Well, then you're just complaining. Talk to God about it, and then we can talk again. Pretty practical. That's a good question for us. When we have these concerns, are we talking to God about it? He can handle it. So much of the Psalms, so much of Job are people taking their needs, their concerns, their whatever it is before the Lord in prayer, but go to him in prayer.